Father, we come together today knowing that one day is better in your courts, in your house, than thousands of days anywhere else. Father, we ask this morning to see your beauty, to find the place that your glory dwells. Father, we ask that this morning. Our hearts and our flesh cry out to you, our living God. Your spirit is water to my soul, Father. I've tasted and I've seen what you can do. I will draw near to you. Better, Father, is one day in your courts than thousands anywhere else. And Father, as we come to you only through the blood of Christ. Our hope is found in you, Lord Jesus. You are the light, my strength, my song. It's on this cornerstone, Lord, this solid ground that holds us through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love. What depths of peace. When fears are stilled. When fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter. My all in all. Here. In the love of Christ, I stand. Father, we thank you so much this morning for those words of encouragement, of strength, of hope. And Lord, I can't thank you enough for the truth that we get to sing here every Sunday morning to encourage our hearts with. To fill us with. We rejoice in that. And Father, as we come together this morning, I pray that you would encourage each one of us, that you would build us up. Father, that as we walk through life together, that you give us your words of encouragement and your power. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Son, the gift. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming into us and ministering to our hearts, for being there for us to comfort and come alongside. And Father, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to meet together, to be a part of your body, the bride. Lord Jesus, that you are preparing for yourself. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And as I was preparing for today, originally, we had this, we had this couples retreat last night, or this past weekend, and it was a great time, and I want to thank John and Chris Dudley for all their efforts in putting this on. It was a great time, and as I was preparing for that, I had one small part of that, sharing some things about marriage. I was going to kind of broaden my picture and share that this morning for everybody. And as I was working through that this week, the Lord unfolded a different picture for me from the same general passage. And I have to tell you first, I had a wonderful time with the Lord last night. He just ministered to my heart so deeply And I pray that just a small touch of that you can gather from this morning. It was a great time. But this weekend, we had several families get together for a marriage refresher, a couple's retreat, encouragement in our relationships as husband and wife. And I'm just going to share a little variation of that. We want to deal with what God is given us as Christian fellowship, and we yet also want to be grounded in the truth, the encouraging words that he provides for us in his word. And I want to start in Ephesians chapter 5, because that's where all good marriage conferences start, right? We've got to go to Ephesians chapter 5. And yes, I'm going to start in verse 22. Everybody's with me, right? Okay, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. You all like hearing this, right? But there is a picture here that we're going to see and unfold together. Even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are all members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Okay. So where do we go from here, right? Because all the wives stopped listening at the first verse, right? Some. Okay, Barb. But you didn't. And all the husbands stopped listening where we talked about the husband's requirements, correct? I want to start with verse 32, which says, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. To me, the interesting thing is we get so caught up in these verses talking about marriage that I think we miss the bigger point. I'm sorry to tell you that marriage is not about you, wife. It's not all about you, husband. But it's about the picture of Christ and his church. It's about what God wants to do with us as his church, and how we have a Savior who loves his body, who loves his bride, and is preparing her. So we want to take some time and just gaze upon these verses in this picture that God's given us here and what he intended for us. We see this picture that Paul creates, that wives are to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. So even right at the very beginning, Paul's taking the focus of who the wife is to submit to off of her husband and putting it on the Lord. But as we look at that, he goes on even further then to qualify it and say that the husband being the head of the wife is a picture of Christ as the head of the church. So Jesus does have the place of authority over his church. And we're going to talk a little bit later about how Jesus looks after his own body when looking at that comparison later on, and how he cares for his bride. So as we think about these things, as we concern ourselves with how Christ loves the church and is the head of the church, it isn't something that we take lightly, that we just gloss over. But we, as his bride, need to acknowledge our place. Just as the bride, as she's walking down the aisle on her wedding day, is the focus of her attention her dad beside her? Is the focus of her attention all the empty seats in the church as she walks in? Is the focus of her attention what the pastor's doing up there? Or the flower girl or the ring bearer, what they did on their way in? I'd venture to say no. The focus of the bride's attention is her groom, is it not? I've only been to a few weddings, but I do remember ours very specifically. And when I was longingly looking down the aisle, we locked eyes, my bride and I. And there was an instant grin on our faces because we were longing to be together. This was the beginning of a change in our relationship. Before she was my betrothed, now she becomes my bride. A relationship growth, a change. We are now one. And as a church, are we, as Christ's bride, longingly looking to him, the focus of our attention? And it's interesting, as we read through this, the next part of that verse says, Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. You know, I was reading something a couple of weeks ago that Spurgeon wrote, and it's just a paraphrase because I can't remember the quote specifically and I didn't write it down, but essentially he said the purpose of speaking for him was to get to the cross of Christ as quickly as possible. As I thought about that, as I was preparing for this, I thought, Jesus did that right here. He went from his love, his place as the head, to the church. He is the Savior of the church. The Savior of it all. So Paul takes us right away to the gospel. And I want you to flip over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in the first verse. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more were we reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation. You know, it's so easy for us to receive all these words, to take this in, to look at this picture of Christ in his church and understand that God's love has been poured into our hearts and just be, wow, I am something special. But if it stops there, we've lost. It should reflect back to him what he has done for us, doesn't it? It's just such a picture of God's death on the cross, the salvation from him, provided by God, shows his love for us, overwhelms us, and we are justified fully at the cross. The cross, then, is not only our symbol of hope, our recognition of strength in him, and that we have received forgiveness from our Savior. Christ died on the cross for his church. He paid the price for us. He has given everything that we might have life with him. Husbands, you want to talk about giving your life for your wife? You want to talk about loving your wife? It's easy for us to consider maybe some of the big things. But to walk through life giving up what's important to us for our wives is what God is calling us to do. We see Jesus' picture of that here. He gave his life for us, his church. And as we think through that picture of the cross, the picture of Jesus as our Savior dying on the cross for his church gives us an ability as a church to submit to him willingly. The picture that we have in Ephesians chapter 5 of wives willingly submitting to their husbands as to the Lord, not because their husbands are great guys, but because God is a great God. Not because it's something that we want to do, but something that we know is for our best. To me, the joy of the gospel is seeing that God gives us the opportunity to serve Him in a way that He knows will bring us the most joy as we glorify Him and raise Him up and lift Him up. Because if I'm satisfied in just being happy and filled with joy for what God has done for me, it stops at me. But as I think about this, as I dwell on the fact that as I submit to Christ because of what He's done for me, it brings me great joy to know that since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more we were reconciled by God to God by the death of His Son. Much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So as we submit to Christ, as we understand, then later on it says in verse 25 that the husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Gave Himself up for her. Jesus gave up His place in heaven for us. He gave up His place there that we could spend eternity with Him. That He might sanctify her. Have you ever thought that Jesus is here to sanctify us as a church? To make us holy? To make us blameless? The interesting thing is, as we look at this in the words that the Lord has given us here, He says that He's done that through the washing. He washes her with the water of the Word. We speak truth to one another through the Word. We encourage one another. We see the picture, the words used in here that the body, we are all members of the body. In verse 30, we are members of His body. And what body doesn't take care of itself? And as we take care of one another, as we minister to one another, as we care for Leo and Ruby, who've been struggling with physical illnesses, God has called us to come alongside in those circumstances. As we care for one another, as we hurt, we minister grace to one another. We do that by washing one another with the Word. Jesus is trying to present, or is planning to present His bride, adorn His bride, so that there's no spot or wrinkle. You know, when my wife was walking down the aisle, she had spent a lot of time preparing for that moment. And I could tell. Not that she's not beautiful all the time, but man, there was something special about that trip down the aisle. And no, I don't remember every detail of that trip down the aisle, but I sure remember the feeling that I had as I thought about that. All the preparation that went into that, all of the majesty and the beauty to see my bride and just think, Jesus is looking forward to that as well. He loves us so much. He looks forward to seeing us spotless, holy, without blemish. The beauty of the relationship between Jesus and His church is our righteousness is imputed from the bridegroom, isn't it? Jesus has given us spotless beauty. Jesus has given us, cleansed us white as snow. His blood washes us. The word he has given us encourages us. He's given us all things. So as we look at Jesus presenting the bride to himself, because he gave himself for her, he presents his bride to himself without spotless, holy, in splendor, and without blemish. We, as his bride, return love to him. We acknowledge our place. We acknowledge his joy and return it to him. I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 3, another passage that talks about marriage. But again, there's just so much in there that refer not just to the marriages that we understand here on earth. And I'm not trying to minimize the importance of marriage, because I think it's vitally important. It is the foundation that God has established for our society. But I think we oftentimes set so much focus on our individual marriages that we lose sight of the picture that God has given us, that it's Christ and his church. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands." Again, we get back to this same picture. You know, it's one of those things that comes back. And it says, "So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct." Verse 3, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry and the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who worshiped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." We see here the picture again of what God is doing with us as married couples. That we get caught in the details of, well, I can't love my wife because she doesn't respect me. Or I can't submit to my husband because he doesn't love me. We get caught in the details of that rather than the understanding that God wants us not to be adorned externally, not to be focused on the little things. You know, I wish I could say for certain that on my wedding day, I recognized the inner beauty of my wife and saw all that she could become in Christ. But when we got married, I don't believe I knew the Lord. And so my thoughts toward marriage were probably less than holy at the time. But God did have, in my eyesight that morning, the picture of a woman who I longed to spend the rest of my life with. A woman who God had given me. And in my limited understanding of who God was, that much I knew. That she was special, that she was a gift to me, and that she was someone that I longed to spend the rest of my life with. And it was her inner beauty that shone through all of the adornment. Even though I didn't understand that at the time, I've come to realize it since. And as the bride of Christ, you have so much inner beauty that Jesus sees. The Word tells us that Jesus knows our hearts. I got to tell you, I know my heart too, and it's wicked. But Jesus knows my heart on the other side of the cross. He knows my heart for what He's paid for and what He is presenting to the Father. And He died for me, took my place, that I could have eternal life with Him. And as we look at that, as we think about that, I pray that gives you joy to know that He sees the potential in each one of us. He sees the redeemed individual in His church, His bride, and He longs to be with us for eternity. And the beauty is that He puts in us the longing to be with Him for eternity. Everything else will fade away. But our desire to be with Him will remain. And we will spend the rest of eternity with our God, with our Savior. We long to be there with Him and spend it with Him. As we think about the fact that no one hates their own flesh, and as husbands, we should love our wives because they're part of our body. As we are married, we become one, it says, right? So we are one as a church with Christ. And we're all members of that body, as it says in verse 30. We are members, one another, of the bride of Christ. You know, we, growing up through our family, my wife had a very special place in our home. And my kids, at times, would like to push that. But the thing that I think, to this day, my kids will tell you is they better not speak ill of their mother in my presence. Because nothing would light me up faster than that. It was one of those things that if I heard one of the children speak ill of my wife, all bets were off. There were times my reaction, I have to confess, was probably anger rather than righteous, but that was my response. And I think Jesus has that same jealous desire for His church, that He wants to protect us at all costs. And Jesus loves us that much, that He cares for us, that He doesn't want us devouring one another. He has a very high regard for His bride. He calls us to cherish and nourish the body. And we want to do that. We want to be a part of that. And it's something that I think, as we understand the importance of the church to Jesus, and I'm using this in our context today, just as we minister to one another through all of this, doesn't mean we can't disagree. Doesn't mean that we can't have conversations. And I think my kids understood that as well, is that they were welcome to disagree with their mom, with me, but they were not allowed to attack their mother. And I think that's the encouragement for us in this, is God is calling us to work with one another, to be an encouragement. And please, please understand that this is not in response to anything that anybody has done or said. Please understand that this is not anything that I've experienced from any of you, anyone outside this room, in response to any of this. I'm just reading the word today and telling you how it dealt with my heart. I see the tenderness that Jesus has for his church. And I tell you, as I was preparing for this, when I was reading through that passage in Romans, I was sitting there and I just wept. I was overcome. This morning, as I was here early, and I'll tell you, if you want to be encouraged, get here at 8 o'clock. Listen to the worship team practice. But I was in here doing what I do. Just seems I wander around more than anything. But I was listening to them sing some of the songs that we've sung this morning. And the one that we're going to close with here in a minute. And again, I was just overcome with the joy of what God has done in my life. And what he's doing in the life of our body. I was overwhelmed. And I just had to keep walking out the door. Or I would have just been a puddle on the floor. And I got to tell you, this is weird for me. Because I am not, right, dear, an emotional guy. Engineers generally don't deal in emotional situations well. And I fit that. My picture is there in the dictionary beside that type person. But I think in each one of us, God is doing something. And I just want to encourage us as we move through this together, that the mystery is profound, Christ and his church. We don't understand all details of what that means. But one of the most important things that we can do to improve our relationship with Jesus and with each other is to speak the gospel to ourselves every day. Speak the truth of his word to yourself every day, because there are forces that just go against everything that you want to believe, everything that he wants us to understand. You need to put the word of God in a place that you can recall it every day. If you're not spending time in the Word of God every day, I encourage you to do that. It will return to you so much joy. You know, most of you will think, I don't have time. I'm going to tell you, if you can take 5 minutes. Is there anybody here that can't find a spare 5 minutes If you can take 5 minutes each day and spend it in His Word, it's well worth it. And I would also say it is necessary. Speaking the truth in love to our hearts is so important, as well as speaking the truth in love to those around us. Preach the gospel to one another as well. We are all part of the bride of Christ. He uses each one of the members of the body to adorn the body. And I want to encourage us to be a part of the business of adorning the body of Christ, to be building up the body of Christ. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before You humbled that You sent Your only Son to die on a cross for us. And Father, there might be some here this morning that have no clue what I was talking about, that don't understand why Jesus would come to the earth and die in our place. But You tell us in 1 John 4 that You loved us. Because of that, You gave Your Son. And Lord, we just thank You so much for that. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your position, for Your love, for Your care, for Your bride. And Lord, as we sing this song together, I pray that it would be a prayer to You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Jesus, for who You are. We give You glory and honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.